In July of 2014, while Marilyn and I were leading a trip to Israel, our guide, David Miller, told us that he wanted to take us on a special little trip. We agreed, and he took us to several interesting places, including the American Colony Hotel, which was owned once by Horatio Spafford, the man who wrote the great hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." He then took us by the home of a man who painted the picture of Jesus at the door knocking, and then to the Scottish Embassy, as he drove us up the hill past a flag of blue and white, and into the chapel of St. Andrew. We got a strong feeling that our visit the next week to Douglas would begin our call to St. Andrew's Anglican Church in Douglas. This week, I met with Bishop Alex Farmer, Canon Mark Eldridge, and our vestry, and we all agreed that due to my health, that today I would announce plans for my retirement as rector of St. Andrew's Anglican Church, effective the end of June. For health reasons, I cannot now be the rector that I want to be, and that you deserve. Next Sunday, Deacon Bob will preach and lead a deacon's mass. And the following Sunday, June 25th, Bishop Alex has asked Canon Mark Eldridge to celebrate a special service for the ending of a pastoral relationship and leave-taking from a congregation. I'll be present to formally give thanks for our time together and turn the keys over that had been presented to me on October 5th, 2014. To Canon Mark on your behalf. As Marilyn and I have been packing my office, I was blessed to come upon so many reminders of the wonderful ministry that we shared in the nearly 9 years that we spent together. I looked through copies of the Wednesday night Bible studies, examining the book of Acts, our study of the book of Genesis and others, especially watching the exciting episodes of The Chosen. I found my notes about my visit with Rowan Evans when we went to the wood mill and the shop of Derek Dillingham in Willacoochee, watching him create our altar and the reredos, or back wall of the church. I also remember the joy that he had when he delivered the final piece, the beautiful pulpit. I could go on and make this a message of reminiscing of the growth and achievement of St. Andrew's, but you know, you've lived it during these nearly last 9 years. I'm grateful for them, and I'm grateful for each one of you. In today's Holy Gospel, we see a transition beginning to take place. Jesus explains to the apostles the magnitude of the job that has to be done. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus then called the 12 apostles to himself by name. The 12 were a sign of the traditions based on the 12 tribes. This was a sort of a roll call that took place of the core from which the laborers would begin to grow. He empowered them so that they could continue to do the work that he started with them. Jesus was renewing that work, and the 12 were not to be a sign that they were restoring Israel, but they were to be a means by which the lost sheep of the house of Israel would be gathered and restored. Upon his resurrection, Jesus would expand their role and expand their work to include Gentiles into the kingdom of God. If he had included the Gentiles at the beginning to hear his message, then no self-respecting Jew would have paid any more attention to him or to that message. Jesus had not come to destroy, but to fulfill God's promises to Israel. The time for the Gentiles would come soon enough. For the moment, every effort must be made to tell the chosen people that their great moment, the fulfillment of their dreams, had arrived. The apostles are to be healers, restorers, people who will bring life and hope to others, not trying to bring status to themselves. They're to avoid any suggestion that they're out for the money. The healings and the apostles were to perform signs of something much more important, God's new life-breaking into the life of Israel, beginning the new day that was dawning with Jesus. If people honored that message and welcomed it, all well and good, but if they didn't, they had chosen to stay in the night rather than welcome the new morning. There was coming a day very soon when those who had chosen Jesus' way of peace would be rescued, while those who insisted on the way of violence would wish they had lived instead in Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus is warning that an even worse fate will be upon those people who refuse to see God's new day as it dawns, preferring to stick with the old ways which were leading Israel to ruin. The good news is that we know the rest of the story. We know the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross to enable and free believers from judgment and sin. After undergoing a surgery of almost 5 hours, it's still hard to know how long it will take for my energy and strength to return and healing to be complete. It is my hope that you will keep Marilyn and me in your prayers. We trust in God that He will lead us and guide us in His plans for us. The Lord's words from Jeremiah 29:11 are on both of our hearts and minds. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." It will continue to be my prayer that the work that we all began together at St. Andrew's Anglican Church would grow and bless the people of Douglas and Coffee County for years to come. May God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.